Let's turn to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, we'll be talking about the birth of Isaac this morning. In Genesis 21, verses 1 through 21. And we call this section the promise fulfilled and the threat removed. And it breaks down real easily into three sections. We'll do a little structure of this section. First, we'll have the birth report of Isaac in verses 1 through 7. We'll have the Lord providing the child of promise to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. That'll be verses 1 and 2. We'll have Abraham obeying God by giving the child the name that God told him to, Isaac, and by having him circumcised on the eighth day. That'll be in verses 3 through 5. And then we'll have Sarah rejoicing over Isaac, God's gift to her, God's gift of laughter to her, in verse 6 and 7. And we'll see why I say God's gift of laughter to her. It's a play on the name Isaac in Hebrew. And then we'll have a threat removed. The threat removed is in verse 8 through 19. And it composes, or it's composed of, two crises. The first crisis is going to picture the opposition of Ishmael to Isaac. There's going to be tension between the two sons of Abraham. And this tension is going to represent a human hatred of God's grace. And next hour we'll look at how the Apostle Paul uses this as an illustration of how the human mind, the human effort mentality hates God's grace. So works mentality hates grace mentality, and this is going to be an illustration of that. We'll see the final parting of the seed of promise, which is Isaac, and the seed of the flesh, which is Ishmael. We'll see those two finally part in this section. So, the first crisis. The first crisis is going to be that Sarah realizes that Ishmael poses a threat to the seed of promise, that is Isaac. And it's a true threat. It's not something she made up, and we'll see that. So how is God going to resolve that problem? Well, the resolution is going to be that with God's approval, Abraham and Sarah decide to send away Hagar and Ishmael, the slave woman and her son, in verse 10 through 13. And this is important, and we'll see why next hour. The second crisis is when Hagar and Ishmael are sent out into the wilderness, they soon get to the point of perishing. They run out of water. So they expect fully to die. The resolution to that is that God rescues Hagar and Ishmael out of the wilderness. That's verse 17 through 19. And then we'll have an epilogue. And that epilogue simply is going to tell us that God was with Ishmael and he prospered in the wilderness. That's verse 20 and 21. So that's how this section breaks down. That's how we'll be looking at it this morning. So first, let's look at the birth report in chapter 21, verse 1 through 7. Let's read those verses. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God has commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. So that's the fulfillment of the promise. Verse 1 and 2. The emphasis of these verses is on the fact that God keeps his word. Notice how emphatic it is. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. You see the emphasis of these verses? It's on God keeps his word. It says, at the appointed time of which God too had spoken to him. So God keeps his word. It was as he said, as he promised, and at the appointed time. Now remember, Abraham and Sarah, being not so different from us, got impatient in the meantime, between the time God promised and the time Isaac was born. They got impatient, so they tried to solve the problem by human means. And that's how Ishmael was born. It was Sarah's idea to have her handmaiden go in to Abraham and have a son with him, so that God's promise that he would have a son would be fulfilled. Well, this is a human method of trying to fulfill God's promise, but God had his own time in mind. And that's why it says here, verse 2, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Now remember, the year before, he had come and told him, a year from now you're going to have a son. It's exactly at God's appointed time. Now I should notice, just as a, what should I call it, a method of getting me off the hook, because somebody came up to me last week and said, when I said that Sarah may have been pregnant during the incident with Abimelech, and somebody said, well, verse 21 says, then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised, so Sarah conceived. Well, the word then implies that this was after that. Well, the word then that begins chapter 21 is simply the Hebrew word and. And the word and is very commonly used to start a narrative. It connects it to the previous narrative, not so much, or it doesn't have to connect it time-wise, but it connects it subject-wise. And if you look through, it's interesting how they use this. Look at Exodus 1. Exodus chapter 1. Exodus 1:1, it says, now these are the names of the sons of Israel. That's the same word, and. And these are the sons of name, the names of the sons of Israel. And if you look at Leviticus and Numbers, it's the same thing. They begin with the word and, which connects it topically with the previous section. We'll find that Abraham is still in the land of the Philistines now, and he will be for quite some time. So regardless of whether Sarah was pregnant when they first came or not, that's not really important. What is important is that the bodies of Abraham and Sarah had been miraculously rejuvenated. It was a miracle. Remember, Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100, and they had a son. Sarah was young enough not only to conceive a child, but to nurse the child. Look down at verse 7, where it says, and she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? So she nursed the child as well. Abraham was young enough again, not only to father Isaac, but also six other sons with his wife Keturah after Sarah dies. And that's in chapter 25 of Genesis. Chapter 25 and verse 2, or verse 1, we'll start. It says, "Now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah." Remember, he was 100 when he had Isaac. Now Sarah dies, so he gets married again. She bore to him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua, Jokshan, became the father of Sheba and Dedan, and so on and so forth. He had more sons. In fact, he had 6 more sons even after Sarah died. So the bodies of Abraham and Sarah were rejuvenated to a remarkable extent. And we noticed in Luke and in John, when we were studying the Gospels, that when God heals somebody, he doesn't do it halfway. He doesn't heal somebody and then say, "Now you get 6 weeks of bed rest and you'll be good as new because I've healed you." His healings are instantaneous and they're miraculous. And that's just how these bodies of Sarah and Abraham were rejuvenated. It was instantaneous. It was not partial. It was complete. Complete enough that he could have 6 more children after he was 100 years old. There's never a recovery period. Instant, complete healing is the idea. Now, Abraham's response to all of this, and it's kind of interesting how Abraham views this. We can use this as an example for ourselves, but the fulfillment of God's promise, Abraham viewed that as an opportunity to obey God. And that's exactly what he did. Very first thing, what did he do? He named the boy Isaac. That's what God had told him to name him. The name is mentioned 3 times in these 3 verses, verse 3 through 5. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So the text makes it very clear that Abraham had obeyed God and named his son Isaac. The fact that Isaac is Abraham's son is mentioned 3 times too. Now the name Isaac was an unusual name at the time. It's not so much now. We see the name Isaac a lot now. But at the time, it was very unusual because Isaac is the Hebrew word for laughter. Now, why would he want to name his kid Laughter? Well, Abraham, it reminds them, whenever they call their son by his name, Isaac, Abraham and Sarah are going to be remembering something. Abraham is going to remember that when God told him he was going to have a son in his old age, he laughed out of pure joy, just pure joy. And that's in chapter 17 and verse 17. This is where God tells Abraham that he will have a son by his wife Sarah. And in verse 17 it says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" So his laughter is out of pure amazement and joy. Now Sarah, she laughed too, but her laughter was out of sarcasm. In chapter 18, in verse 12, it says, "Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?'" So her laughter was sarcastic. Abraham's laughter was from pure joy and excitement. But whenever they say the name of their son, Isaac, they're going to be reminded of this because Isaac means laughter. Then when Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him. Remember back in Genesis 17 and verse 12, when God is making his covenant with Abraham. He says, and every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. So Abraham saw the birth of his son as an opportunity to obey God. I wish I could learn to see things that way, as an opportunity to obey God. But that's what Abraham did. Now, Sarah's response in verse 6 and 7 is that the sarcastic laughter that she had back in 1812 is now turned to a laughter of joy because she bore a son, just like God said she would. So it was such an incredible blessing that she just figured everybody who finds out is going to rejoice with her. And that's why it says, Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. So God made laughter for her, Isaac for her. It's all a word play. And then everybody who hears about this is going to laugh with me. They're going to rejoice with me because I had a child in my old age. So their response is both very positive. Remember last time when we talked about Abimelech and how Abraham had deceived him, Abraham and Sarah both. They had finally learned their lesson, and they don't. We don't find them doubting God anymore. We find them rejoicing in what God has done for them. Now, that brings us to the second part, and that is the threat is going to be removed now, and there's going to be a threat to Isaac, the seed of promise. And first, we have the weaning of Isaac in verse 8. It says, the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Now, it was customary in those days to nurse a child till they were about 2 or 3 years of age. And it was also customary to mark the weaning of the child with a big feast. So this is a very customary thing they're doing here. And Abraham was still living now in the land of the Philistines. If you look down at chapter 21, verse 34, you see that because it says Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days. So he's still there. The Philistines, that is, had already been made aware of God's power. In fact, they'd been made painfully aware of God's power when God told Abimelech, you know, if you touch Sarah, you're dead and everybody you know is dead. So they were aware of God's power. Now they get to see the other side of God, how trustworthy he is, because he had promised Sarah and Abraham that they would have a son in their old age, and here it happened. That brings us to the first crisis. Then this crisis is that there's a danger to Isaac. Now, how this came about is that apparently Hagar and Ishmael had been all but forgotten in this big party they're having for Isaac, for his being weaned. So Ishmael, now he's about 14 years old. Because if you look at Genesis 16:16, Genesis 16:16 says that Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Well, now he's 100, remember? So what does that make Ishmael? He's about 14 years old now, so he's a teenager. And they had been apparently all but forgotten. And up until now, Ishmael had been the only son. And Abraham loved him, there's no doubt about that. Remember when God told Abraham that he was going to have another son? And Abraham's response was, oh, I wish that Ishmael would be the chosen one. And God said, no, that's not the way it's going to be. It's going to be Isaac, the son of your wife, Sarah. So he did love the boy, and the boy had been his only son now. And remember, was it Ishmael's fault that he was born as a result of Abraham and Sarah's lack of faith? Was that his fault? Was it Hagar's fault? I mean, Sarah ordered her to go into her husband, and that turned sour. She resented it from the very beginning, but it was her idea. I mean, it wasn't these guys' fault that all this happened. So it's easy to see why they would be resentful. It's easy to see why Ishmael would resent Isaac. And you see it in verse 9, where it says, now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. So Ishmael was mocking Isaac, and that's the first crisis. Sarah could not take the mocking, reasonably so. It's easy to see why she would be upset. So she goes to Abraham again. Even though it was her idea, remember she, Hagar had borne a son to Abraham, what did Hagar do to Sarah? She kind of got uppity, we might say. But she despised her, is how the Bible puts it. But she got kind of uppity. You know, hey, I've got the son, you don't. And, of course, Sarah became resentful at that. And she's still resentful. And here she sees that son, who's now a teenager, mocking Isaac. So Sarah becomes resentful, and she goes to Abraham. Now, it's kind of interesting to note that the word mocking, we're going to look at the wordplay now, the word mocking in verse 9, where it says that Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. She saw him mocking. Now, the word mocking is based on the word that's Isaac's name. Isaac's name is Yitzhak, and that means laughter. Now, mocking is the word tzahak, and that means, that's the verb form of the same word. So it means to laugh. And that's the word translated mocking. So Isaac is the noun form, and to laugh is the verb form. And here we have Ishmael laughing at the kid whose name is laughter, basically. And it's a word play. So, and it's also a PL participle, which is an intensive form of the verb. So he's laughing, he's really mocking him in this context. It means to make a joke or a jest of. Remember when Lot went to his sons-in-law to tell them to get out of town because the city was going to be destroyed? And what did they, how did they respond? They thought he was joking. That's the same word that's used here over in that context. They thought he was joking. That's what Ishmael was doing to Isaac, whose name means laughter. So Ishmael thought this whole thing was a joke. That was his take on it. So it's easier to see why Sarah would be upset about that. Because here's this kid, and he's 14 now, and he's mocking the 2 or 3 year old. He could, you know, become a real problem. So now, what do you have? You have Hagar, who's upset. You have Ishmael, who's upset. You have Sarah, who's upset. And everybody gets upset. That's what happens when we lack faith. The whole situation turns into a nightmare. Everybody gets upset. The situation looks totally hopeless. You know, she goes to Abraham again, Sarah does, to complain that Ishmael is mocking, and Abraham gets upset, Why does he get upset? Well, he loves his son. So he's upset. Everybody's upset. It's just when we disobey God, when we fail to trust God, it just turns into a nightmare. So nothing but trouble. Everybody's upset now. And the situation looks hopeless. What are they going to do about it? God resolves the crisis in verse 10 through 13. Therefore, she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. He loved his son Ishmael. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. So God comforts him by saying, look, he's going to be, I'm not going to forget about Ishmael, but he is not going to have any part of the promise. That's Isaac. So God chose Isaac. That was God's sovereign choice. And he said, Isaac is going to be the son of the promise. And Ishmael is to have no part of it. But because you love Ishmael, I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to make him a nation as well. So the first crisis gets resolved when God speaks to Abraham again, and God instructs Abraham. I say again there, because remember what happened when Hagar had despised Sarah because she had the son and Sarah didn't? And Sarah did the same thing back then. She ran to Abraham and said, she's despising me because I don't have a son and she does. And God spoke to Abraham then too, and he said the same thing. Do what Sarah says. So again, they're going to do what Sarah says, and they're going to send Ishmael and Hagar away. Now, remember, they were never meant to share in the promises in any way. But he did assure that he would take care of Ishmael. Now, this is going to start a tension that's lasted even down through today. And next hour, we'll finish up this little section, and then we'll go up to the New Testament book of Galatians, and we'll see where the Apostle Paul uses this whole story that we're just studying as an illustration of how people who are what we would call legalistic, who think that they can get merit from God by doing things, hate people who understand grace and know that God dispenses blessing on the basis of his sovereign will, not the basis of what we do. And we'll see that next hour. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this story in Genesis. And we can see how very much it applies to us today, because we've learned some attributes about God. We learned that God will keep his promise every single time. We've learned that God is sovereign, and we pray that we can keep those things in mind as we go throughout our lives and make our choices. In Christ's name, amen.